Let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are continuing our study and preaching through 1 Corinthians. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And just going to look at two verses tonight and give some thoughts out of these verses and give you what the Lord's put on our heart tonight. Pray to be a blessing and a help to you. And the Word of God always will, won't it? Always help us. And even when we don't know what it's doing or going to do at the time, the Lord will always have a situation in our life. We'll always have a time, and He'll always bring that scripture back, and it'll be just what we need. Amen. And so let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look with me in verse number 16. He says, ask a question here. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, pretty straightforward verses, and I don't think it takes a four-year degree in Greek to understand all of that. And, of course, it doesn't take that to understand anything in the Word of God. It takes a King James Bible and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? But as we look in these verses, you have to think about what's been already talked about and what's been dealt with up to this point, and particularly what's been being dealt with in the most recent verses and passage. It's been dealing with the duty of God's people. And all of that has come about, the Apostle Paul writing and giving instruction about the duty of really the Corinthian church, and really of the servants of God in general, what our duty is. It's all come about from the carnality of that church. And they're, you know, picking their favorite preachers, and they're really what's happening is they're exalting man. They've got their eyes on man, and that's what the flesh does. The flesh will always get your eyes on man and the world around you. But the more spiritual we become, the more our eyes are on God and the more on heavenly things and spiritual things. And we see things the way God sees them. We see things spiritually rather than seeing things carnally. And that was the problem with this church. They were so carnal and so fleshly, given over their flesh. Oh, they were saved, but they were being ruled by their flesh and the Adamic man. Therefore, they lived their life and they saw everything very fleshly, carnally. They had a fleshly, carnal mentality. And as far as they were concerned, some preachers were better than others, and some preachers were more right than others. And I get that there may be a degree of that, but at the end of the day, all that brought about the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, dealing with what the man really is. And that's nothing without God. And so, you know, and just kind of got into the whole deal of the duty, the Christian duties. You know, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. And we all have something that God's called us to do. And the best we could ever do is to do what God has called us to do for the glory of God. And leave the results to Him, regardless of what anyone else is doing or not doing. And so, really, he's been dealing with that, and especially the last few verses and the last message that was preached, I guess, Sunday night, we begin looking at duty, but begin looking at the judgment involved in duty. How, you know, one of these days we will all stand before God and give an account to Him, and it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ we give an account to. All judgment has been given to the Son by the Father. So we'll stand before Jesus Christ Himself, and He will examine our works, good and bad. He'll examine what we did, what we could have done.
He'll examine the opportunities and the responsibilities and the gifts we were given and the talents we were given. He'll examine all those things, and it will be made manifest really what we really were. What I see in you and what you see in me a lot of times is not what we really are. But one of these days we'll stand before God and it will be made manifest what we really are and what we really were the whole time. And so he's been dealing with that future judgment and the future rewards or lack thereof that will come. But then things, the tone and things kind of shift a little bit in these verses that we're looking at tonight. And he's still dealing with judgment. The judgment based on our duty. But he's not dealing with a future judgment anymore. He's dealing with the current judgment. So there is a future judgment with the judgment seat of Christ where we will stand before the Lord and give an account for, you know, for our works here. But there's also a current judgment by the Holy Spirit that will be taking place right now in this life. And that's what he's dealing with. And so all of these really, he's giving all of these as reasons to live for God. Reasons to live holy. Reasons to live clean. Reasons to be what God wants you to be. Be what you're supposed to be. Reasons to have a testimony. Reasons to do what we're supposed to do. Because one of these days we're going to give an account. But there's also a judgment right now. And there are things that take place right now as a result of doing or not doing our duty properly. And so he moves from dealing with future judgment by Christ to current judgment by the Holy Spirit. And these verses really speak of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in believers. And it is that Holy Spirit that provides the judgment, that gives that judgment he's talking about. So what this does is... of course, he's talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, what it does is literally makes the saved person the temple of God. So in the Old Testament, you know, there were temples, and there's still over there in Israel today. They, you know, those Jews, I mean, they get to that Wailing Wall, that Western Wall. It's the last remnant they have of the literal physical temple. And at one time, you know, you had Herod's temple, and you had Solomon's temple, and you had those temples. And that was the dwelling place of God. That's where the Spirit of God dwelt. And I understand that He appeared in different places, and He appeared beyond just the temple and beyond just the tabernacle. I understand all that. But as far as God's dwelling place, He set up that tabernacle and He gave all those dimensions and told Him exactly how to build it, because that's where He was going to dwell. And then when the temple was built, that's where God was going to dwell. That's where that Holy of Holies was. That's where the worship took place. That's where God was. Well, after Calvary, all that changed. When Jesus talked about the Comforter, you know, He said, you know, the Comforter would come, you know, and when He's come, He'll guide you on all truth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God coming from heaven and indwelling the believer. Anyone that would believe and be born again is quickened in the spiritual man, made alive in the spiritual man by the Holy Spirit of God that indwells and possesses that person. Now, I don't know about you, but that, I mean, when you really get to meditate on that, I know probably all of us here have heard that preached and taught and know exactly what I'm talking about, and we've heard that most of our lives, probably most of us. But when you really get to meditating on that thing, I'm telling you, that's some real deep truth that the God and the Creator of heaven and earth and the sustainer of it all would indwell you and live inside of you. And in a big way, in a large sense, what the lost world gets regarding God and things of God, it gets through you and through me. Because people are not going to a temple anymore to hear from God. God is using the church now. He's using the people, He's using the bride of Christ, the people that He has indwelt to be His personal witness, ambassadors He calls us. His personal witness in this world. And I know the Holy Spirit still works in people's hearts, even lost people's hearts, and works in the world, reproving and, you know, of righteousness and all those things. That, I mean, all that takes place, and I understand all that. But listen, what the world gets from God, a lot of it comes from you if you're saved. Amen. And so the God of heaven comes on the inside and is indwelling and sustaining and guiding, leading us into all truth. I mean, all those things are taking place. Therefore, when someone is saved, they are the temple of God. That's why God doesn't dwell over there in the Middle East in that temple anymore, next to that Wailing Wall anymore. He doesn't dwell there anymore. Not in a particular way like He did in the Old Testament. I know God is everywhere and I know God is omnipresent and all those things. But listen, He indwells the believer, and the believer is now the temple, the dwelling place of God in this world. Amen? That's a blessing, isn't it? And so if you're saved, you're the temple of God, and with great blessing comes great responsibility. Because as great of a blessing as it is, and as many blessings as it provides for the saved person, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit does provide many blessings. The reason you don't back up on God and go back to the world is because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The reason that you are sealed unto the day of redemption is because of the Holy Spirit. Because the reason that what God started in you, He will finish in you, is because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, the reason that we can get a little off every now and then and save people, when I say we, I mean save people. Listen, the reason we can get a little off every now and then, the reason we can get a little rebellious every now and then, but not come out all out rebels, like we were when we were lost, is because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I praise God for that. Because all those things I just talked about, I would have done on my own a long time ago. But thank God the Holy Spirit is what is keeping me going. That's that fire that's burning in our bones. When we love to lay it all down sometimes. In our flesh, we'd love to just lay it down, go back to Egypt, go back to the old life, go back to the old days, throw our hands up and quit. But that fire, that Holy Spirit fire is down in there that keeps you going one more day, one more step, one more mile, one more service, one more sermon, one more message. I mean, it just keeps you going. Amen? And so thank God for the indwelling of the Spirit of God. But again, with great blessing comes great responsibility. And the judgment based off our duty comes from that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. To whom much is given, much is required. And listen, we were given a lot. Those of us that are saved were given a lot when we were given the Holy Spirit. Listen, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a tremendous blessing, but it's also a lot to give an account for. Amen. I mean, we really pooch our lips out and we, you know, tuck our tail a lot, you know, when it comes to living this Christian life about how hard things are. It's going to be hard to explain that, though, to God when we stand before Him. It's going to be real hard to explain a lot of the ways that we live and our mentalities and our carnality. And all. It's going to be hard to explain that to God. And you say, well, why is that? Because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because He has given us something in this dispensational age that people never had before this. This is, spiritually speaking, I mean, we talk about how bad and how dark it is, but spiritually speaking, this is the best day you could ever live in. Listen, we're more blessed than anyone's ever lived. I mean, we've got more available to us. We've got a whole Bible. We've got the Holy Spirit. I mean, we've got churches. We've got the old time way. I mean, we've got it all, man. We've got it all. And it's a lot to give an account for. And not just at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a lot to give account for there. But not just there. The point He's making here is that it's going to take place here too. In some ways. That's what He's talking about. So I want to point out a couple different things, just some things in each verse that the Lord's given me regarding these verses and that judgment, that current judgment because and by the Holy Spirit. The first thing I want you to notice is he brings up, I call it the cognizance of the dwelling. Talk about the dwelling of the Holy Spirit and the cognizance of that in that dwelling. He says in verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So he asked a question there, but then the very end of verse 17, he makes a statement, which temple are ye? Now he's not asking that question because he actually wants an answer. What he's doing, that know ye not, that really is more of a reminder than it is an actual question. He's getting them thinking and getting them remember. It's kind of like what the Lord was doing whenever he would ask the Pharisees, what saith the Scriptures? You know, whenever, you know, I mean, whenever they'd come to the question, well, what's the Bible say? Because they knew, or they should have known. And so he's reminding them, kind of like whenever God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day and went to calling for Adam. Adam, where art thou? It wasn't because God didn't know where Adam was. God knew right where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. He wanted Adam to take a step back and evaluate his situation, evaluate where he was, and look, where am I? Adam, where art thou? Where am I? I'm hiding from God. What am I doing? I'm hiding from God here. You know, him to realize and to be reminded of where he is. And that's what's going on in this verse with this question. They're being reminded really of what they already know. What they already know. This is not informing them of something new. This is reminding them of all what they already know. And it regards the believer's possession. They've been possessed. Amen. Now, we think of possession a lot of times as a negative way, possessed by demons and devils. But truly speaking, when someone gets born again by the grace of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, they get possessed by the Spirit of God. And so, and that's what he says, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He says, which temple ye are. You know, when a person is saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell, to live in that person, and that makes the believer a spiritual temple of God. Now again, there are those that have been possessed or indwelt by unclean spirits, unholy spirits. We see that today. Listen, I mean, you'll never convince me that this sodomy and transgenderism and all this, you'll never convince me that it's anything but an unclean spirit. Because it goes against nature. Listen, it's not right, but I can understand a man running off with a secretary. Please understand, I'm not making light of that. I'm not saying it's okay, but I mean, you know, from the human perspective, you can understand it. But I can't understand a man wanting to be a woman. Or a woman wanting to be a man. You know, and actually mutilating their bodies to do that. I mean, doing irreparable damage, permanent irreparable damage to their bodies and mutilating them so that they resemble more of the opposite sex than what they were, than what God made them as. I'll say this, listen, as much as I can't understand that, I sure can't understand a parent pushing their child into that and being okay with sending them off of these schools that they know are indoctrinating them with that stuff. I tell you what it is. It's an unclean spirit. Unclean spirits are at work. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more we're going to see that. The more demonic activity and all these things we're going to see. Because, listen, man doesn't arrive at these places on his own. Listen, man's depraved, but there are dark forces out there that are influencing humanity, and the devil is hard at work and guiding and influencing man into these things. Amen. And so there certainly is that, and of course we know these spirits, they cause all sorts of trouble in the people that they indwell. But in contrast to that, the Holy Spirit is nothing but a blessing to the believer. I mean, guiding us into all truth and keeping us going, comforting us, all those things. And so he's pointing out the fact that we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. But then with that comes the privilege of it. He says, ye are the temple of God. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm glad we don't have to go to a physical location to meet with God anymore. It's right to come to church and you're not in the will of God if you aren't faithful in church. You'll never do anything for God if you're not. Amen. And let me just say this. I've never known anybody that ever really did anything for God that wasn't faithful to church. I'm talking about every service too. People come up with all kind of excuses why they can't be there Wednesday night, and they'll be there every other service but this service. Well, they can't be there Sunday night, and they'll be there every other service but this service. But I'm just saying, I've never known anyone that really did anything for God that wasn't faithful to the house of God. Amen. I've never seen it. I've never seen anyone that really did anything for God that wasn't faithful to the house of God every time the doors were open, to every service, to every revival, to every meeting. Amen. I'm just saying, I've never seen anyone really be anything for God that did that. And they may have grown up and come up and seen some type of success, being a good citizen or something like that. But as far as really doing something for God, I've never seen anybody, because that's the will of God for our lives. Now, that being said, I am thankful that I can still meet with God whenever it's not church time. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be in church and you don't have to be in service to meet with God and to hear from God? Amen. Aren't you glad that whenever you hit a valley, you don't have to wait till Sunday? You know, if it's Thursday night, I don't have to wait till Sunday to hear from God. Hey, He can meet with me right then. I can get in a prayer closet right then. I can hear from God right then. Listen, when the heat is on and I'm in the heat of the battle, or I need direction, or I need wisdom, listen, I can hear from God right then. The Holy Spirit can give me direction, and He can come in and He can do something at any time. Praise God for that, because of the privilege of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, that's a privilege the world and the lost world does not have. It's hard to imagine trying to make it through this life on your own. Amen. Because listen, I know for a fact that there's been times, you know, situations I'm faced with that I just didn't even know what to do. And the thought that came to my mind, I know for a fact it was the Holy Spirit of God. Because there was no way I could have come up with that on my own. There's no way. I mean, I've faced things, you know, times of distress, times of hurt. I've faced valleys. I've faced mountaintops. I've faced many things in my life that I know for a fact I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have done it right. I wouldn't have come up with that thought. I wouldn't have gone that direction. Listen, that door wouldn't have been shut, or that other door wouldn't have been open. All those things, so many things I could say that I know for a fact it was the Spirit of God that did that, and I would not have come out right on my own. None of us would have, whether we recognize it or not. The Holy Spirit, there's an unseen hand that is guiding us all the way. And this world is out there, and that's part of what it means to be lost, isn't it? They are lost. They don't know what direction they're going. They don't even realize it, but they don't know what direction they're going. They are wandering through this life, doing the best they know how, the best that they can, and there's a way that seemeth right to a man, that the end thereof are the ways of destruction. Amen. Listen, that is the law. That's what it means. That's part of what it means to be lost. But praise God, we are not lost. We've been found, and He is guiding us and holding our hand all through the way. It's a blessing, isn't it? And that's a privilege. That is the believer's privilege. When He says, ye are the temple of God, ye refers to the person's body. Our body. He's talking about that body you're sitting in tonight. And this is a high and holy privilege to be the temple of God in this body. Well, that really, you really start meditating on that. Think about all this, and then think about whenever He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Man, oh man. The Holy Spirit in this body, this earthen vessel. You know, the knowledge of the privilege that we have with the Holy Spirit, that alone ought to make us want to live holy and to live right, to live clean. Because again, we're going to stand before God, and it's going to be real hard to explain why I didn't do any better, or why I didn't do any more, or why, you know. When we've got the Holy Spirit of God in us right now, we've got Him right now. We've got Him right now. And He's reminding them, He's getting them cognizant of that, remembering that. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're remembering, getting cognizant of that. Asking that question enough to remember. That's right, I do have the Holy Spirit of God. But then the next thing he deals with here is the corrupting of that dwelling. Thank God we can be cognizant, we can know that we have the Holy Spirit of God and all the blessings and the privileges of it. But talking about that judgment and our duty as believers, there is a corrupting of that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what was going on here in this church in Corinth. They were saved and had the Holy Spirit of God, and they were the temple of God, but they were defiling that temple. You know, the same thing is still going on in 2023. There are saved people that are the temple of a living God, and they are defiling the temple of God. And can I just say, God does not take that lightly. God doesn't give the gift of the Holy Spirit to somebody and then not take offense whenever they defile that temple. I mean, you think about all that He had to give, all that He had to sacrifice, all that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through that you could have the Holy Spirit of God, and then to take it for granted and defile the temple. That brings about very swift, stern judgment from God. And so it's not just coming down the road. It'll come right now. He said in verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So, the privilege disrespected brings judgment from God, is what that verse says. It's not just coming one day at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll come now. Now, being the temple of God and allowing sin to defile that temple brings very strong consequences according to this verse. Now, he doesn't go into specifics to say specifically what God will do in a sense, but he does say God will destroy him. But we're going to look at that here in just a second. But I want you to notice two things about this corrupting the dwelling and the judgment that comes from corrupting the indwelling of the holy, or corrupting the temple of God, which ye are if you're saved. First of all, we see the character of the corruption. He says, if any man defile the temple, but then he also makes a statement, him shall God destroy. Now, this is interesting because the two words, defile and destroy, are the same word. They're translated from the same word. The same word, and they come from the same word. And what he's talking about is defiling the body is to destroy the body. Because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the body. The corruption here he's talking about is unholiness. That is sin. Unlawfulness, like we talked about in 1 John, lawlessness, doing things that we know are sin, living a sinful life, or allowing sin into our life. You know, unholy living corrupts the body and destroys it every time. This is evident in every hand of our society. Listen, if you want a good picture of what sin does to people, listen, look no further than Skid Row and, you know, San Francisco and Portland. Portland's a good example. You know, you got all these, you know, liberal socialist utopias where, you know, they've gotten soft on drugs and they've gotten soft on sin and they've decriminalized all this stuff and let people just kind of have their way. And now people lay in the streets and there's, you know, huge, you know, homeless encampments and people are strung out. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what humanity will do to itself. Colorado's a good, yep. Listen, look no further. Sin always carries those consequences. You can't point to a single sin that doesn't also adversely affect your body as well. There's not one. Every sin also adversely corrupts and destroys the literal physical body. Sin always leaves physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual effects every time. And it may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but they will come. They will come. Listen, this wicked society that we're living in makes something like abortion seem harmless. And even if they do acknowledge that there is a victim of abortion, it's only the child. But do you know the mother is very much a victim as well? And I hate to say victim, but the mother is also greatly affected as well. It's not just the child. The child loses its life. The mother is burdened with guilt and shame her whole life. And it doesn't matter what they tell them. It doesn't matter that they try to educate all that out of people. Listen, whenever mothers commit abortion and murder their children, listen, I mean, these are documented facts that many of them struggle with depression and anxiety and substance abuse the rest of their life. There's reports of women who have abortions and then wake up, not every night, they go to sleep and they wake up thinking they hear a baby crying. And it drives them crazy. And they get counseling and they get drugged and they just never get over it. Amen. Because sin will always have adverse consequences. You've seen the before and after, the real extreme cases of like the before and afters, you know, before and after, you know, methamphetamine and, you know, the before and after pictures, the people who were, you know, young and healthy, attractive people, and then after a few years they get hooked on meth and then they look like they've been, you know, on meth for a few years. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, they've got sores all over their face and their teeth are falling out and their hair's falling out. And I mean, listen, when the Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard, listen, the way of the transgressor is hard. It is hard on you. It is hard on your body. It is hard on your mind. It's hard on your emotions. Listen, we've been around people who it's obvious they've had drug problems their whole life and they can't hardly talk. They can't hardly think. They can't hardly think cognitively. We say it's fried their brain. Isn't that right? And I don't say that jokingly. I say that brokenheartedly, but that's what sin does. But it's not just those extreme cases either. Listen, all forms of sin affect you. Listen, immoral sexual sins affect you. The Bible clearly says that it's a sin against your own body. That's what he's talking about right here. Against your own body. You sin against yourself. Listen, the book of Proverbs talks about the sin of adultery. Listen, go through the book of Proverbs one day and make a mental note every time the Bible talks about the sin of adultery and all of the problems and adverse effects that it causes in a person's life, the one that commits it, the adverse effects. Talks about how the man that committeth adultery lacketh understanding because he doesn't even realize all the effects it's going to bring in his life. Those are things you never get over. You never get over. And every sin does it. Every sin will affect you mentally, emotionally, physically, and certainly spiritually. Every sin does that. Because, and again, this is certainly true. This is even more true with saved people than it even is lost people. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why sin ought to scare us to death. Because if you defile the temple, the Bible says him, God will destroy. So the character of the corruption, but then notice the consequences of the corruption. And then we'll be done. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. See, God doesn't tolerate conduct which adversely affects the temple of God. And from God's point of view, it's more about defiling the temple than it is you defiling you. Because you have something more than this lost world have. You've been given something more. And you're a representative of Him. And that temple, this earthen, this treasure in earthen vessels, this temple of God. Listen, it is His representation to this world. His personal witness. That's right. And so God takes it very seriously. And it's a very rigorous consequence, very rigorous consequences when we defile the temple of God. He says, him shall God destroy. I don't know about you, but I have seen folks in just my life as a Christian, I mean, as a pastor too, but also just as my life as a Christian, seen folks get out of God's will, get out of church, you know, get lax, you know, and you can always see it. You can always see people slipping out, and it ain't going to be long till you know they're gone. And you can always see it. You see it little by little. And now they'll swear up and down, no, 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 we're not getting out. No, we're just, you know, we just kind of got this going on that. But you can see it. You can see people cooling off. You can see people slipping. You can see their heart, you know, kind of going a different direction, being pulled in a different direction. And they're allowing that. They're yielding to that. You can see it. And if they'd get right before it's too late, they'd be all right. But you can see their heart drifting. They won't get right. They get out of God's will. And it seems like when that happens, they get out. They get out of church, get out of the will of God, get their family out of church. A lot of times it seems like everything seems to start going wrong in their life. I mean, with their health, with their finances, with their family, I mean, with so many things. You just look at it, and from the outside looking in, it's just like, you think, oh man, God is really, He's dealing with them. They don't see it apparently, but God's really dealing with them. And I've thought that, and there's been times where I go back in my mind and I think, well, no, I'm just, you know, it's just a situation where you always see what you're looking for. You know what I mean? And I've thought that. But you know, the reality is, and according to these verses, there is something to that. There's something to that. There's something to getting out of the will of God and everything starting to go wrong with your life. There's something to getting out of the will of God and your health beginning to fail, having all these problems you never had before. There's something to getting out of the will of God and having problems in your family and having everything go wrong. There's something to that, because when you have the gift of the Holy Spirit and that making you the temple of the living God, and then you defile that temple by going the way of the world, God takes that very seriously. In other words, if you won't live for God with that body, then God will destroy that body. Isn't that what Paul talked about? And I can't remember the name of the people. He mentioned some people specifically by name that had done wrong. They weren't living right. And he talked about turning them over, them being turned over for the destruction of the body. That's what he said. I can't remember the people's names, but that is what he said. I can find the verse. They're turned over for the destruction of the body. I'll tell you something, that's a real good incentive to never get out of the will of God, because you'll never get out of the will of God where there are not adverse effects. And you may not see them today, and God may not drop the hammer right now, and it may not be tomorrow or next week or next year, but they will come. They will come. I mean, I'm thinking of families and people right now that I've seen at one time were in good churches, serving God, their family was serving God, they were doing right, they were involved, they were enthusiastic about living for God. And some little something come up in their life, and they let it overtake them. And now they're out, and they're seeing problem after problem after problem. And from this side, you think, well, man, why are they not waking up? You'd think they'd see. It's so clear what God's doing. I've seen it over and over and over. A lot of times they do. A lot of times they do. Set their heart against God, get mad at God, bitter at God, and everything God tries to do to turn them around just makes them more bitter. But see, the reality is, God never does that to people. People do that to themselves. He's telling us right here what will happen. And so if we go that way, it's our fault. It's our fault. That word destroy, again, I've already mentioned, it's the same word as defile. In other words, God punishes and brings judgment here in the same way in which the person sinned. You defile the temple of God, therefore God destroys the body. In other words, God would just repay what you're paying Him. He's given you the Spirit of God and made you the temple. You defiled the temple, so therefore God defiles you. allows your body to be defiled. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you miss church. God will fix it where you can't be in church. Isn't that right? You know, you won't serve God. We won't serve God. Won't do it where, you know, do what God's asked us to do. God will fix it where we can't then. Physically unable. The destruction of the body. And so, just a stark reminder, and it's such a blessing to have the gift of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And it seems like this message started out so positive and ended so negative. But the reality is that it is such a blessing to have the Holy Spirit, isn't it? But it's also an awesome responsibility to have the Holy Spirit. And it's all about our duty as believers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for helping us with it. And Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit tonight, Lord, as we've been reminded, Lord, of the gift that you have given us, Lord, and as you personally, Lord, in the form of the Holy Spirit of God, indwelling us and, Lord, guiding us and helping us. Lord, we just thank you so much for that. But Lord, we're certainly reminded as well of our duty and our responsibility in it. And I pray that you would help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, forgive us for not being what you want us to be, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, forgive us for not serving you like we should. And Lord, that we would, God, be more dedicated, more committed, Lord, to be what you want us to be. Lord, you are worthy. And you've given everything needed to live for you and to have victory in these days. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to realize that and to be what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we leave this place. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon your word, Lord, to take it with us, and Lord, to drive it deep into our hearts, Lord, to keep it on our hearts and our minds, and Lord, that we might not sin against you in the days to come. Bless in the Lord's day. Prepare our hearts even now. Begin working, Father, we pray that, Lord, the Lord's day, Lord, would be a great day. We'd see souls saved, see visitors. And Lord, just see your will done in our lives, Lord. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.